everyone. Welcome back to Purple Row Radio. This edition is for Friday, April the 27th, 2012. My name is Greg Stanwood. I'm a staff writer at PurpleRow.com. And joining me, as always, except for last week, asterisk, Andrew Martin. Andrew, what's going on?
My record has been tainted. I'm so appalled with myself.
You actually did miss one other show way back in the robot radio days, and I had Russ on the podcast.
I was on a vacation or something like that. I don't know.
I think you were on vacation, and then you forgot to tell me until, like, the last minute or something like that.
I have a tendency of doing that. See, everyone, if you're really wondering where I was last week and they didn't tell you, I was like, hey, I want to go to the Nuggets game tonight because they're playing the Clippers, and that's, you know, what's-his-face, Blake Griffin is going to do things or something, and I was like, yeah, more sports, yeah, and then I got the tickets, I was like, da-da-da-da-da, and Paul's like, oh, hey, about the podcast, and I go, oh, crap.
Whoops.
Yeah, hey, guys, I forgot to put it on my calendar this week, and I ended up getting Nuggets tickets, so I'm going to go do that instead. And then the Nuggets lost, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess it was still fun.
You would rather have been podcasting.
No, actually, I had a really good time at the game. It was a really good, game, even though the Nuggets lost.
Fair enough. Yeah, see, for me, I have this podcast on my Google Calendar for every Wednesday ever, so according to that, I am doing this podcast the rest of my life. As of now.
There you go. You can share that with us, so that way we can put, like, guests on there. Why are we talking about administrative stuff? This is stupid. Hey, everyone, sorry for missing last week. My bad.
And speaking of missing people, Paul's not joining us this week.
Yeah, what are the odds, right?
we had to have everything even out, so next week I will not be here. They're going to do a show without me, and it's going to be an absolute disaster, I'm sure.
I'm quite excited about it.
Okay, that actually almost happened when I took my trip to Arizona. We missed the podcast that week because my plane got in a lot later than I expected. And then Andrew's all, yeah, we're going to try to do the podcast by ourselves. And then I get back, and I'm like, how'd it go? And they're like, yeah, didn't happen.
Yeah, I had to go visit my supervisor at work. I work for a small company. There's three of us, and when I'm IT and development. And so my supervisor, he got all laid up because he hurt his leg real bad. So I went and visited him, and then I'm like, oh, I got to go record a podcast. And I was like, oh, crap, it's like 11 o'clock Paul's time. Hey, Paul, you still want to do it? And he's like, no, dude, no.
Good move.
It was way too late. It was way too late. But I was doing a good Samaritan. I just went to say hi and see how he was feeling, and I didn't bring him anything. I'm not a great person. Let's talk about baseball. I'm starting to question my motives in life.
I was going to say, you brought him your presence, your soul, your comfort as a fellow human being. But
honestly, we had an off-site meeting at his house today because, like, we just need. He's like, I got to meet with my team at some point. I'm getting so cooped up. I want to see someone other than my brother. And so we went to his place today, and we just, you know, got a good status update. He's doing a lot better. See, he like tore his quad, which is a pretty, like, horrifying injury, and he's a big dude, like, world's strongest man type big dude, like,
oh my,
I don't know. He's very stout, like, you know, stout used to have a definition. It used to be like a barrel chested man, and now it just kind of got lumped with, like, husky for, you know, I'm a fat kid, but I don't want to admit that I'm a fat kid. You know, I wore husky jeans, I'm not gonna lie. But no, Ray is like a barrel chested guy, like the kind of guy who, like, flip a car. Okay, maybe not literally that, but you see where I'm going with this. So for a guy his size to tear his leg like that, yeah, he's been laid up for quite a while now, and it's been like a month and a half of work without him. And yeah, I'm just rambling here. He almost couldn't walk if his quad had torn just a little bit more, and that would have sucked. He might have lost the ability to walk normally, but they saved it, so hopefully PT goes well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of injuries, and actually on topic, we're a baseball podcast, right. We learned today that Michael Pineda, who was involved in one of the bigger trades this offseason, is now going to be out for the season. And even though this isn't really relevant to the Rockies, we thought it might be an interesting thing to chat about.
Well, I feel tragic. It's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of guy, even when Brian Wilson went down with his elbow, like, I hate Brian Wilson. Like, oh my God. Words cannot fully encompass how much I disdain Brian Wilson. but I don't ever want to see somebody get hurt. I want Brian Wilson to be humiliated as the Rockies pound him for 8 runs over, you know, his .1 innings of work or
and
something
that actually
like that.
Could happen because Bruce Bochy would leave him in.
Yeah, really. But like, I want to see like San Francisco burn down because of how ridiculously bad Brian Wilson blew the save or just something like, I want to be the Rockies to beat full strength, you know, Mohawk, beard pointing at stuff, being a goofy guy, Wilson, to, you know, be beaten at full strength, to say we are that much better than you. I always hate to see any player get injured. Now, with the Yankees, like, again, I don't like to see teams, not decimated might not be the right word, but teams really lose out due to injury when they could have done better. You might make an exception for the Yankees because they're the Yankees, but, you know, they had a lot going with, they gave up a lot of guys in that trade, or there's a lot of talent, I should say, not necessarily guys, but Jesus Montero going to, Seattle, that's a kind of a big screaming deal. And, you know, Michael Pineda was supposed to be this beast for them, and then he hurt himself and couldn't hide it, apparently.
Well, of course, people are coming up with all these conspiracy theories now that Seattle was like aware his arm was gonna fall off and that, they pulled a fast one over New York. Do you think there's any credence in that at all, or is that just silly people being silly?
Let me put it this way. A lot of us over on Purple Row also said something along the lines of, if Ubaldo's hurt, I'm glad he's not our problem anymore.
That doesn't answer anything, but I guess that's the point.
Yeah, the point being, like, yeah, in a sense, it does. But is there any credence to conspiracy theories? Well, if you suspect your pitcher has an injury, I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, I don't know if the front office knew or not. All his medicals cleared and stuff like that, but, you know, as a fan base, you're kind of like, I bet his shoulder's messed up, because, like, I bet there was a point in the season or something, Pineda fell apart, and they're all like, oh, man, I bet he finally, that weird motion of his blew his, he tore his labrum. And with Ubaldo, it's like, with that herky-jerky motion, I can't help but wonder if his elbow's going to go. And, well, here we are a year later, and Michael Pineda's out for the year, and Ubaldo Jimenez has yet to become Ubaldo Jimenez.
Mm-hmm. One other injury we can talk about that's happened since the last time we did a show is Christian Friedrich, who we've mentioned sort of an inordinate amount of times on this podcast so far because he's been catching our attention with his performance in AAA, is now down with a hamstring injury, I believe. So, I mean, I guess that cripples the pitching depth a little bit because people were talking about how, like, oh, well, if we need to make some changes to our terrible rotation, Christian Friedrich is going to be near the top of the list in terms of people to consider replacing him, and now he's out. But that, I guess, is why we acquired all the young arms.
Well, with Friedrich, you want to see one of our freaking pitchers from those last several drafts pan out, and Friedrich is looking good in AAA, so to see him go down with anything, it just sucks to watch. Because, I mean, you want to say we got something out of, like, 4 years of first-round picks, and I'd like that guy to be Friedrich, and he's looking like he's got something going for him right now, and I just hope he doesn't end up... it sounds like his elbow is okay, but I just don't want to see him being that guy who just cannot stay healthy no matter what he does. He was like, with Mark Pryor, it was, I'm pretty sure it was an elbow injury, then a shoulder injury, but the two of them were very interrelated. Bad motion.
There's a name I've not heard in a while.
Seriously. With Pryor, the chronic injuries just seem to be mostly in his elbow and his shoulder because damage to one would affect the other and then damage the other, and then they keep going back and forth. Anywho, point of this being that I'm hoping that he doesn't end up being the guy who just keeps, like, getting all the random nagging injuries. Not necessarily just his elbow or his wrist, but, like, oh, this time he stubbed his toe really bad and it got to the point where he couldn't plant his foot right. Oh, and then he slammed his feet. I mean, kind of like Aaron Cook, you know what I mean?
Or Craig Reynolds, honestly.
Or Craig Reynolds. Yeah. Yeah, with Reynolds especially. But I hope it's not another one going down due to that, because, good Lord, that would...
Yeah, I last year he was largely injury free. I think he might have been out for a couple weeks, but I mean, obviously 2010, he had some pretty serious injury struggles. I'm not too familiar with the exact injury history or how any of these things all interrelate to each other. Generally, I mean, sometimes obviously for Rocky's roster, I read all the the official statements and reports and so forth that they release when a player goes down, and a lot of the minor league teams don't even bother explaining what happened. It's just like, player X was placed on the disabled list. The end. Or in the case of the Asheville Tourists, they don't say anything at all.
Yeah. Now, with him, the undisclosed injuries, I mean, he did get his elbow, you know, pretty bad down in Double A. That was the majority of the injury with his elbow. And so, when I got my 30 seconds to run into Dan O'Dowd in the hallway at FanFest, I, you know, introduced myself as Andrew from Purple Row and said, you know, question for you, what's the next step for Christian Friedrich? We'd like to see him in the majors. And O'Dowd goes, oh yeah, we love Christian, because you gotta start out everything you say sound like, oh yeah, we're all buddies. But, is it with Christian? I said, no, I know he's got elbow troubles. And Dan cut me off at that point. And Mr. O'Dowd, I don't know, do I have to call him, should I just call him Dan O'Dowd?
Or call Dan? Him Danny.
Danny boy.
Danny O.
Oh, Danny boy. I can't think of a good rhyme right there, so screw it. But yeah, he said with Friedrich, staying healthy is like number one for him. And then second was that he needs to make baseball his number one focus. But, I mean, it kind of sounded like a lot of the injury stuff was behind him, but I don't know. It seems like he's doing good. I have no idea how to monitor AAA guys for whether their attitude's good or not.
Yeah, and that always struck me as suspicious. Then again, that always strikes me as suspicious. I mean, we don't really have any gauge, because that's such a broad statement of how significant that statement, or how much that actually means, or how much we should weigh into that. I mean, that could mean anything from, he's not paying any attention to baseball and we think he's lazy, or it could just mean, he's so close, he's just a hair's length away from really getting somewhere if he just puts in, you know, 30 more minutes on the drill or whatever. I don't know. Could mean any number of things.
So yeah, I'm hoping that whatever it is, because when I was talking with Matt Musia, who's doing a lot of our farm coverage now, he was watching the Friedrich start and saying, dude, he looked dominant out there. He was dropping that curveball wherever he wanted. I mean, it looked like everything we heard about him, and that's just incredibly encouraging.
Yeah, let's hope he's not down for too long, because I think he's definitely emerged as one of the more interesting early stories in the system, and which was not necessarily entirely expected, because we had so many other new interesting pitchers to look at this spring. And even though this was a big year for Friedrich, because it was the year he was protected from the Rule 5 draft and got on the roster for the first time, he sort of fell under the radar there, just surrounded by everybody else. But now he and Moscoso are kind of the two near the front. And I guess Chatwood will be there too once he's stretched back out again. As players who might need to be emergency bridges between one of our current five guys and whenever De La Rosa is ready to go.
Now that makes sense too. With the depth we have, we can't, you know, take anyone for granted. I'm kind of taking Chatwood for granted already, just because I don't know if I'm actually bitter about the Iannetta trade still, or if I actually just don't think Chatwood's all that good, or I don't even know what I think about the guy. The point is, I don't understand what the organization did putting him in the bullpen at the beginning of the season. He should have stayed in AAA in the rotation.
Well, as you may recall, that was kind of a fluke that happened. It was because of Josh Altman that happened.
True, but why him, not Escalona?
Because Escalona was already sent down.
Oh, so they couldn't un-option him?
They could. I mean, I guess I'm not saying that's a legitimate argument. That's probably what they would have said. He hadn't been in minor league camp for a week. So, I mean, he might have just fallen out of the thing. They had the roster set, and Chatwood was only still there to fill innings. So they were saying, oh, let's send Chatwood out on the last day when we purchase Moyer and so forth. And then Josh Altman went and decided to go eat at Denny's. And the rest is history.
I've never had an experience at Denny's. I mean, everyone immediately is like, oh, Denny's is the worst stuff ever. I know. I'm like, oh.
I don't really like Denny's, but I can't say that their food has ever caused physical harm to me.
Oh, exactly.
So
what's funny? Yeah. Oh man, I always feel bad making fun of Denny's. Like, my grandparents are in their 80s, and they're wonderful people. Well, I mean, who's going to say anything about their grandparents other than they're wonderful people, you know? But my point entirely is that they were like, oh, let's take you out for dinner. We're like, no, you don't need to take us out for dinner. We're like, no, we insist. We'll take you out to dinner, and we went to Denny's. I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, you know, it was, hey, it's a meal and I'm out with my family. That was the most important thing. We could have eaten it, you know, wherever. I would not have cared. But it's more just the feeling of like, man, Denny's is where I go and I'm like drunk or on a road trip or something like that. You know, I don't like go there intentionally.
Right.
And, yeah, but I gotta say, it was actually a really good meal and I was very impressed. Anyways, Denny's promo over. So I guess I was having Chatwood be on that, you know, the edge of that counter or the cutting block there or whatever, kind of made sense to have him in the rotation when you put it that way. Or not the rotation, but the Major League bullpen.
Right.
But, like, we're not looking – I don't like him as a reliever at all. Like, with Rogers – with Esmiel Rogers, and this is our segue, Greg. With Esmiel Rogers, he's all stuff, but when he has to stretch it out for a few innings, he waters it down so much that it's just awful and hittable. Whereas when he's in the bullpen, he struck out the side today, and that's just nasty. Whereas Chatwood, his strength, he's obviously not going to be a 1-to-1 strike to walk ratio guy his entire career. He just well, assuming he sticks at it and has a career. But
right.
He seems like that guy who's going to power you through 6 or 7 innings with an unsightly ERA, but he will get you through those innings, and that has a intrinsic value in itself.
Future fourth or fifth starter
exactly,
type.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. You're back in starter guy. So putting him in the bullpen made no sense. And obviously they did have Rogers in the Major League bullpen on opening day, which was the right decision. But you see where I'm going with this.
Right, and I mean, we do have more stuff to talk about Rogers, but going back to Chatwood, that's another reason that they would have picked him over Escalona, is just because we were kind of at that point. Rogers right now is sort of the unofficial long man, but they're still mostly throwing him during one out, or one inning, outings right now. And of course they had Chatwood in there as the long reliever, but since they've sent him out, we don't really have one proper. But that kind of goes back to looking at that roster we were projecting. Who was going to be the long reliever? It was probably going to be Outman. And since he was the one who went down, you know, you have Chatwood. So, I mean, it kind of was the best fit, I think, regardless of who is already out of camp and so forth.
No, and again, it's not the kind of thing that I'm trying to flambe the organization over. It's just, I mean, I would have called back up Escalona personally, even though he'd been in minor league camp for a week or whatever. Like, I would have rather
You would have had Escalona do the three inning stuff, or
yeah, you know, I mean, that would have been, he did it last year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was never really technically a long reliever, but he did have multiple inning outings regularly during the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's certainly capable of it. I kind of prefer Escalona in the one inning role too.
Yeah, I mean, the it's not a problem per se. It's just if we have a starter get bombed before the third inning, you know, before the second inning even ends, we're gonna have some trouble because all of our guys right now are, like you just said, one inning relievers.
Mm-hmm. Now we're creating so many segues here because we also want to talk about how the rotation's improved over the past week. But...
we can talk about that, but this bullpen thing's going somewhere. Before we get into Rogers, because that'll be a good transition to rotation there. But you mentioned Josh Outman being the long man,
the hypothetical long man.
Yeah, hypothetical long man when he comes back, because he seemed to be in major league shape, and I guess he's gonna have to rehab and reprove himself now.
And especially now that Matt Reynolds has sort of caught on that I guess they're not going to use him as anything other than a lefty specialist, so he's like, gosh darn it, I'm going to become so good against lefties, and so far he's been doing okay in that role.
Well, I won't get into that because I'm sharing, I mean, Fisher's written about him so many times about the fact that Matt Reynolds is not a lefty specialist because he throws left-handed. He's not. He's not that great against lefties. I mean, he's good enough in just a standard issue platoon split, but he's far from a Joe Bimel. He's definitely not a Mike Myers. Definitely not a, you know, I'm trying to think of the two veteran guys that, Arthur Rhodes or, yeah. Did you say Ray King?
I said.
You said Ray King. Oh man. Anyways, so like, given the fact that, I mean, I think Reynolds, he's been demoted so far back, it's kind of hard to tell what his role is anymore, but I mean, the team's obviously not that impressed with him, but if we bring Outman up, I mean, do we keep three lefties on the roster, or do we...
That was kind of, I mean, that whole last week of spring was kind of complicated with the roster, because so much was going on at that time, their stock was getting higher than lower and so forth, and there was one point where everyone was shocked to learn that the team was definitely considering letting Outman fully replace Reynolds on the roster. And I always got the impression, just from my own personal analysis of the situation, that probably wasn't very likely whether or not Outman was injured. I always expected that they would take three lefties, and I mean, we heard reports that Jim Tracy was really turned on by the idea of having three lefties.
Of course he was.
So I think that if Tracy intends to keep using Reynolds as a lefty specialist, and is in need of a long reliever if the rotation starts getting flummoxed again. Outman and Reynolds, in addition to Brothers, who is really just sort of a setup guy rather than a lefty right now in general, that gives us two left-handed pitchers who we can use in, you know, a variety of situations, and then one in the back end of the bullpen there at the end of the game. And so I'm not necessarily opposed to that setup right there.
Oh, well, so does Reynolds just remain a major league cog, or do you think there's room for a remedial trip to Colorado Springs?
Well, again, it depends on what they want to do. If they want to use Outman as the lefty guy, then it's probably Reynolds' roster spot, which gets taken away when that happens. Otherwise, it's probably Escalona going back down again. Or one thing we haven't considered is, since it's taken so long or so much longer for Outman to get ready than we expected, they might just do what they did with Blackman and send him down to the minors first.
No, which makes sense.
This way back.
I figure he has to reprove himself at this point because he found himself in a groove and, you know, who knows, maybe that groove was nothing more than, you know, some spring training magic and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would imagine he has to reprove himself now, which sucks for him. So Rogers though, you're mentioning the Esmiel Rogers factor.
Yes. I should point out that I've always been sort of a subtle corner defender of Rogers, just because he's one of those players that endears himself to me just without like any analysis of him as a player at all. So I've always been just rooting for him to succeed. And, we've all been saying for quite some time, I mean, some people who have more experience than me at, projecting players like this have been saying ever since Rogers was purchased to the roster in 2008 that he should be converted to the pen. And, you know, we've had stints during that time where Esmiel Rogers was throwing out of the bullpen, but it was usually as a long guy, slash spot starter type. And, this is really the first year that we're getting a look at Rogers in a more typical bullpen role. And aside from that one outing a couple days ago, so far he's been running with it.
Yeah, no, Rogers has been just straight up nasty. It's like I mentioned earlier, he waters stuff down so much that, you know, when he's starting, that he just loses all the nasty out of it and just comes some guy who can kind of throw some pitches. And now, within the bullpen, it's like, oh, I'm going to snap off, you know, an 86-mile-per-hour slider that starts at your chin and ends up, you know, on the opposite side of the plate. No big deal. Maybe not that nasty, but you know what I'm getting at here. He's been looking pretty filthy. 96, 97 at the knees. You can't touch that. Give me a break. Yeah, no, Rogers is really flourishing. I mean, we saw that today when he got to, I mean, granted it was a doubleheader, but he pitched a higher leverage inning in there and did great.
Mm-hmm.
And he struck out the side, in fact, and that's, I mean, considering the Pirates had tagged us for 5 runs, I was about to make some joke about, well, that's no big accomplishment, and, you know, against the Pirates lineup, but in the second half, the Pirates beat us. Yeah, I'm a little miffed about that still, but we can talk about it in a second. No, Rogers has been just this pleasant surprise, and you know, I'm not going to pretend that I was always in the bandwagon. I don't think I ever went from like, "Woo, Roger's doing good," to "God, I hate him with everything within me." It's more of been kind of like a, "Oh, it's Esmiel Rogers. All right, let's see what he does this time." And
yeah, and I've to be fair to him, I've noticed the same thing. There's always certain players on the team. We've had a history of this from, you know, Clint Barmas was obviously one of them at one point and so forth, who just kind of get in the doghouse of the fan base and just can't ever do anything right. And when they do something right, it's just a huge shock and everybody's just completely flabbergasted by it. Rogers never really did get that far. I mean, he did earn himself a lot of vitriol, but it was sort of on a game-by-game basis, and I never really felt that he was one of those players that was too unfairly judged by the fans. I felt like people did give up on him, but at the same time, with how poorly he pitched last season, I can't really hold that against anybody.
Yeah, no. He had so many of those gas can starts, he just wanted to strangle him. And a lot of people are like, well, see, I told you Esmiel Rogers sucks because he snapped off that one start where he struck out like 14 Pirates or something like that last year early in the season, and then proceeded to be terrible again. And, I mean, I just get this impression that people just don't know what to expect out of him. I mean, you see him beat a, you know, relatively weak offense. Yes, I realize that we just got our, you know, lost another series to them. But the point is, I mean, yeah, if Rogers can do that against them, what happens against a better team? And we saw what happened against a better team. And I don't know, I'm pleased to see that we are getting value out of Esmiel Rogers. I was, concerned that he was going to get waived and then end up with the whoever's, and they were going to turn him into this bullpen stud who we could have had, but we were too damn impatient to leave him in the bullpen. And I think,
or we're too patient with him in the rotation.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like Al Albuquerque. And granted, he was only in our organization for a brief time. But the fact that we got him in exchange for somebody, and he was our player to have, and then he goes off to Detroit and is like, oh, hey, guys, look what y'all missed. And we're all like, God, duh, why?
Yeah, that was an interesting situation. We would have had to purchase his contract in a funny spot in order to keep that from happening. But I won't get into all that. So the rotation, last week and kind of before that as well, we were talking about how the rotation's been struggling, and we were, you know, filling time by speculating with who is going to be the first one to lose their job and so forth like that. Now, this past week, just about everybody except Chacin in this most recent game has really improved upon their previous start and have been showing some signs of life in there. So, I mean, I know that people are anxious to, like, play musical chairs with all these pitchers that we have, but I keep telling people, you know, they're not gonna be hasty in shuffling up the rotation until they really feel that they need to. And after four rotations through the rotation, it's probably a little bit too early to be worried about that. We're getting closer, but I don't think that it's time yet to really look at anybody and say, well, they just don't deserve their job right now.
No, it's a good problem to have. A lot of teams envy this situation, relatively speaking. We have a lot of guys who are of similar caliber to the guys we have in the major league rotation right now who could come up and fill those innings in a similar or better fashion. So, or worse, I guess, too. But
yeah.
No, it has been incredibly encouraging. And again, we got to remember that we just played the Padres and we played the Pirates. So, yeah, we got the Brewers in between. That's a pretty good hitting team, though. Okay, no, I'm okay to be happy with them.
Okay.
See, I get the impression that a lot of people were worried about Jeremy Guthrie coming into Coors Field, and their worries were well justified because Guthrie has been hit around Coors Field a little bit. But his two road starts have been pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, opening day was good enough, but then his start against Milwaukee was downright good.
And other than that first Coors Field outing, he's done okay in eating the innings as well, which is really the most important thing for him to do at this point.
Absolutely. We got him to be the guy who can keep going and save the bullpen. And I mean, he got through that 1-6-run start in, like, I don't know, 105 pitches or something like that.
Right, exactly. I mean, the one game he was taken out in, like, the third inning, or I can't remember, but all the other times besides that, even the times he struggled, he's been able to hold on and be able to contain the situation from the angle of who's going to be pitching the rest of this game. And it reminds me, I'll always remember back, I guess it would have been 2008, early in the season when we had Mark Redmond give up 10 runs to the Dodgers in the first inning. 10 runs in the first inning.
Didn't he, like, keep pitching for another, like, 6 innings, though?
Exactly. He made it into the 7th inning.
Ridiculous. I mean, ridiculously bad, but still ridiculous.
Right,
know?
But I mean, the point was, it was a dead game at that point, and we didn't want to waste our bullpen, and so Mark Redmond, despite, you know, having a terrible performance in terms of winning a baseball game, actually saved the team down the road by just holding on to the game and filling innings until that time ended. And of course, we're hoping that Jeremy Guthrie will be a better resource for the team than Mark Redmond was. But at the same time, there's sort of a, I feel that story is sort of relevant to what we're expecting from him just about any time he goes out there.
Exactly. Well, Jeremy Guthrie is a better pitcher than Mark Redmond was. I think we can both thoroughly agree on that.
But Mark Redmond was an all-star.
Former all-star, Mark. When I have a buddy from college, and whenever we mention the name Mark Redmond, he goes, hey, that's former all-star Mark Redmond. Do you all right, pal?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite funny. Anyhow, yeah. Mark Redmond was so bad he eventually got sent down and never came back up, which was, you always hate to see the playoff hero do that. Because, I mean, remember how Mark Redmond was great? Like, I remember the start against Philadelphia, where we were at the point in 2007 where every game we're like, well, good season, everybody. Well, good season, everybody, then they come back and magically win. Denny Bautista was nursed through two innings by Clint Hurdle, and then Mark Redman's like, I'll just, you know, toss like, you know, seven innings to shut out baseball. It's not a thing. And he talked like Patrick Warburton when he said it too, and that whenever I start talking like that, I always kind of feel like Patrick Warburton, even though I sound absolutely nothing like him. It's just that
you're speaking in the same cadence.
Yeah, like Krunk from The Emperor's New Groove. Outstanding flick. Anyhow, no, the thing with Guthrie though is that he's not as bad as his, you know, bad start went. So huzzah. So going forward with him, I really wouldn't worry too much about his starts. The thing that's great about the pitchers like that we, as opposed to the pitchers we had last year, Jason Hackley, because Chacin's still doing this, but they have that one bad inning where their pitch count may or may not be that bad, but they have that one inning which is suddenly just like that one big blow to your team and, you know, knocks the wind out of you for a minute there. And what's worse, though, is that when you give it that one big inning, there's a good chance you're going to get pulled during that one big inning, and that means they had to cash in on the bullpen that much more. So mm-hmm. with a guy like Guthrie, who doesn't really have that one bad inning, he's like a better version of Josh Fogg, where he'll have six innings of, okay. Mm-hmm. No, I'll take that.
3 to 5 runs, maybe somewhere in there. And,
somewhere in there, and usually spread out really well, too. So it's like one in the first, one in the third, two in the fifth, and that's it for the through the seventh, and then the bullpen comes out for the eighth and the ninth, wherever the – it gives your chance the team a chance to pace themselves. Moyer's like kind of like a lighter version of that because he's probably not going to go seven innings as often as Guthrie will, but it's the same kind of thing. If you're going to get runs off Jamie Moyer, they're going to kind of like trickle in. They're not going to be like one big explosion, and it's obviously the trend, not the rule, but I think you can all see where I'm going on that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I feel obligated to point out each time that we have a rotation that's built around replaceability, and Guthrie is the safest one in there. So if you're unhappy with Guthrie at this point, you're probably not going to see him not pitching for the team unless he gets hurt, which would be a serious problem if that happens. But, I would not worry too much about Guthrie, and if you're going to worry about other pitchers, worry about other pitchers, and then we'll see if De La Rosa or somebody else in that array of depth that we've accumulated will need to do some switching in and out there.
You know, it's been promising to see the pitching coming along, even though the bats are still giving us fits. I think we're almost out of time to be talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how the next week carries the bats, because I mean, we've seen some explosions, we've seen a bit of clutch hitting, but we've also seen the team almost get, like, no hit into, like, the sixth inning regularly. But let's save that for next week, because I get the feeling it's going to happen at least once this week.
That'll actually be interesting to see. I mean, the idea of what we were going to talk about was that this team in generally particularly specifically struggling with getting the offense going early on, and as a result appears to be getting semi-no hit through a certain amount of the game regularly. It's not something that I honestly picked up on, but I will be keeping my eye on it, and we'll see. I mean, hopefully we look like idiots and the Rockies like score, you know, 45 runs this week, but I would assume that nobody's holding their breath for that, so.
It looks like to open the series, we are getting Drew Pomeranz, but I don't know. I'm trying to check real quick before I have to write this article tonight anyway, so I might as well look and make it interesting. We're going to be facing Dylan G, who I know nothing about. We got Santana on Sunday.
Right, yes. Mike Pelfrey was originally going to pitch in that series, but he has gone down. Just, I mean, it's for two of the last three series, we had the same thing happen with Chris Narveson, where
he's hurt your pitcher. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, or it's not even playing the Rockies; it's being scheduled to play them.
Ooh, that's good. That's very good.
Santana
has made 4 starts, 18 innings pitch, which is not impressive. 12 strikeouts per 9, 4 walks per 9. Which is obviously a 3-0 strikeout to walk ratio, and ERA
3-0.
Yes, I mean 12-4, but that ends up boiling down to 3-1. Is what
you said 3-0.
I did say 3-0. I made a mistake. Okay, I'm sorry. When you're perfect, why don't you give me a call, huh? Santana has a 3 ERA in those 18 innings, and a 1.58 FIP and a XFIP just below 3. So, like, this is – Santana's looking good out there. Damn it.
Yeah, and at least I haven't looked at the standings recently, but I know New York got off to a pretty decent start, and they were expected to be a clear bottom feeder in that NL East this year. It looks like Washington and Atlanta have surpassed them by this point, but they have not had a bad season so far.
Uh-uh.
It'll be an interesting series, and then after that we have.
I need to look up something, don't I?
It might be the Dodgers after that.
I think so. That actually sounds right. Checking full schedule. Pirates, Mets, Dodgers. That is correct. Dodgers in Coors Field. In Coors Field. So, Rockies are back in town on Friday against the Mets, and they will be in town through... I'm going to face the Braves the following weekend. Monday, May 7th, they will be back out of town in San Diego. So, you got three series to catch in there. Yeah, Mets, Dodgers, Bravos.
This is interesting because I didn't really notice this when the schedule was released specifically, even though I love to take a look as soon as it's out and see what sort of interesting things are going on. But we have a lot of home games early on.
Yeah, we do.
By the time we finish playing the Braves, we will have had 6 home series to 3 away series.
In
April and May, so.
Well, like, if you think about it, I mean, if we have a late rush of road series, that'll suck because it's the road, you might not get to watch the Rockies, like, clinch at home or anything like that, assuming they made it that far. But,
I don't really recall the end of the schedule being particularly road heavy either. We might have a heavy road middle or something like
that. Okay. That would suck during the best parts of summer.
Yeah, do you remember the last time that happened? We had, it was like the 2008 All-Star game, and we went into the All-Star break with like something like 14 straight road games. We had like 2 4 game road series and something like that. And, it was crazy. And I think that was the one where Brian Fuentes like melted down and like lost 3 games against the Astros.
Something like that. I don't know. I never remember those stretches, but.
Yeah.
My point is, I'm hoping that the pitching will be able to kind of hold us up a bit during those road stretches, because Lord knows it ain't the offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless you get anything else, I think that about wraps everything up.
Well, no. I'm disappointed by the doubleheader loss, but Friday night we are looking forward to I guess you wouldn't say I'm looking forward to the Mets, but you see my point.
Yes, and also this podcast will be up on Friday, so you won't have to look far for long.
All right then. Well, I, Greg, I am spent. Thank you for the time.
Sure. And, we will be back next week on Friday, May the 4th. It's already May 2012. Wonderful.
Okay.
Life just flies right on by. All right. Until then, take care.